Hello, and welcome to Ox Talk, your weekly local talking news, this Tuesday, the 28th of November, 2023. Sunrise today is at 7:45, and sunset at 4. Your readers this week are Bridget Doole and Stephen Harness. USB memory stick copying and distribution is by Michelle Lawful.
Plans have been approved for a new landmark timber cycle pavilion in the heart of Oxford North to provide secure spaces as part of Oxford's new 700 million innovation district. The striking pavilion has been designed by the project's planners, Fletcher Priest Architects, on behalf of North Oxford Ventures, the joint venture company of Thomas White Oxford, the development company of St John's College, and London-based developer Stanhope. The prominent two-storey building, which was inspired by wheel spokes, will be located in the New Market Square alongside the Red Hall and Central Park. The new pavilion, approved by the City Council, will provide 191 first-floor secure long-stay cycle spaces dedicated to people working in the Red Hall and other buildings. It will include a power gully on the stairs to assist in carrying bicycles, along with ground floor short-stay spaces and a bike repair station. End-of-trip facilities will be in the basement of the adjacent Red Hall with 16 showers and changing facilities. These cycle spaces will be in addition to the 444 spaces with showering facilities which will be provided in each of the Phase 2's recently approved Plot A, B and C laboratory buildings. Vertical timber beams will surround the upper story and provide views across the Market Square to create what has been described as a warm lantern effect in the evening. In addition to the architectural design, the project team has included sustainability, accessibility and inclusive design consultants, as well as lighting, fire and security engineers. David Camp, Chief Executive Officer for Stanhope, said, "This decision is great news for cyclists. Our project is focused on transforming local travel habits and making cycling more convenient and sustainable for those working and visiting in the future. We have positioned the pavilion in a key location at the master plan's heart to celebrate the bicycle as a mode of sustainable transport. The circular timber structure will act as a focal point adjacent to the recently consented, enhanced and expanded Red Hall, the central landscape and Market Square." Philip Pryke, Senior Associate for Fletcher Priest Architects, added, "We are thrilled that our designs for Oxford North's new timber cycle pavilion have been given the green light. With Oxford one of the UK's leading cycling cities, it will give bicycle use the prominence it deserves within the new urban district being created. Phase 1A is expected to be completed in spring or summer 2025.
"Look, if you don't stay active, you get old very quickly," said Sir Ian Botham. "Whether you're getting up on a mountain or getting out of bed, the important thing is to keep going. Having undergone a complete knee replacement surgery in late 2022, Ian dedicated the past year to his personal journey of recovery, rediscovering the profound value of physical and mental well-being through exercise. Inspired by this rediscovery, the sporting icon is now embarking on another mission to get the nation moving. Many of us know Ian as the front man of England's greatest ever comeback, the Miracle of Headingley, 1981. So he might be just the leader we need to push this people to move. Whilst Beefy's Charity Foundation continues to fundraise for the treatment of chronic and serious illnesses, Ian's Move More message is one of the prevention before treatment. This initiative to promote self-awareness, asking individuals to consider if they could be doing more to keep themselves healthy than encouraging them to do exactly that. He says, "When you were younger, you didn't have to think about exercise because you were exercising every day out in the sports field and in the playground. Nobody thought, oh, I've got to do some exercise. You just did it. As you get older, it gets a bit trickier to look after yourself, so you must be more disciplined. Dr. Rob Galloway, A&E doctor and honorary clinical professor, recently published an article stating that doing regular exercise is the single most important thing that anyone can do for their health and thus reduce demand on healthcare systems. The same article details concerns about the UK healthcare system, which revolve around its current focus on treating acute illnesses at the expense of prevention, leading to unsustainable demand and potential harm to patients. In presenting movement as a solution to our healthcare crisis, Dr. Galloway refers to exercise as the wonder drug that every GP should be prescribing, being that it's zero cost, zero side effects, and has the list of benefits longer than any pharmaceutical has ever created. Considering the stress our NHS is currently under, Ian Botham's Move More initiative is an empowering reminder to help our healthcare by helping yourself. Thinking of joining the movement? The NHS has created a useful tool to guide people who are looking to incorporate more movement into their routine. And find out more at nhs.uk/live-well/exercise/. For those of us with added challenges, Ian's advice for staying active against the odds is rather succinct. Get out there and have a crack. It's the only way to keep yourself mentally and physically strong.
A charitable campaign, asking people to donate coats they no longer need to make a difference to the homeless and vulnerable in winter, has achieved spectacular results. Whitney Rotary Club's Wrap Up collection of unwanted but usable coats collected over 670 coats in just 1 week. Last year, the campaign received 70 donated items. Some coats have been offered to asylum seekers in Whitney, and the remainder we passed on to Emmaus Oxford for distribution among the homeless and needy in the wider Oxford area. Wrap Up is a yearly national project where Rotary Clubs collect coats for charities that support people in the UK to keep warm in winter. In 2021, more than 21,000 garments were donated nationally and given to the homeless and needy. President of Whitney Rotary Club, Keith Crawford, said, "I'm so pleased that the club has been able to run Wrap Up again in 2023 and that the people of Whitney and Carterton have given so generously."
Oxfordshire County Council has begun work on a relief road around the South Oxfordshire village with the creation of flood protection measures. The Benson Relief Road is designed to be an alternative route from the A4074 and B4009 north of Benson near Wallingford. The relief road is intended to reduce congestion through the village and give the new housing developments to the north direct access to the A4074 at the Elmsbridge roundabout and the B4009 west of Braes Lane. The County Council has also stated the project will provide capacity improvements at the Church Road junction. Councillor Judy Roberts of Oxford County Council Cabinet Member for Infrastructure and Development Strategy said, "Benson is a commuter village with many people working and travelling to their jobs. Benson Village is at the centre of a complex arrangement of junctions which must be navigated by both local and through traffic, including children walking to school and other village facilities. Pedestrians, particularly those less mobile, and parents with young children and pushchairs are at risk whilst crossing the roads. The Benson Relief Road is a central piece of the new infrastructure for the village and a vital tool in reducing through traffic. It incorporates measures to encourage cycling and walking locally, which helps reduce car usage in the village, lessening congestion, local emissions and adverse air quality. The County Council has appointed Milestone Infrastructure to complete its 250-metre section of the road, as well as prepare a flood compensation area. The new road is within the flood zone, and a flood compensation area is a large area of ground lowered and offset from the road, which should provide a storage facility for any flood water. Work on the flood compensation area will take approximately 12 weeks, subject to weather conditions. Also included as part of the work will be an archaeology mapping to identify and record any archaeological finds in the construction area. Once the flood protection measures are complete, full construction of the highway, including laying tarmac and sidewalks, landscaping and lighting, as well as the cycle and pedestrian paths, will begin in early 2024, lasting 6 to 8 months. Planning consent for the scheme was granted in January 2022, and it is being funded through a combination of growth deal funding and Section 106 contributions from developers. The northern section of the road is already complete, while parts of the middle and section are also under construction. These are being delivered by the various housing developers on site. The entire route is anticipated to be open to all traffic in 2026.
Oxford City Council is warning residents about multiple scams trying to con them out of money. Oxford folk are being targeted by fraudulent phone calls demanding immediate payment of fabricated rent or council tax arrears. A number of people are receiving unexpected calls from unverified sources claiming to be from Oxford City Council. Posing as council representatives, these scam artists assert that the residents' accounts are significantly overdue and must be settled instantly to avoid eviction or court proceedings. The council does occasionally call for information regarding residents' rent or council tax accounts. However, staff will always clearly identify themselves and their specific team, the City Council has said. Residents can always request to return the council's call via official council phone number 01865 248 9811 to verify their authenticity. The council advises residents to end suspicious calls and delete scamming emails or text messages without interacting with any of the links. The council says under no circumstances should personal data, like bank details, be provided to individuals suspected of fraud. The council has encouraged people to be cautious when giving personal details online, highlighting that scammers often create fake websites to harvest victims' valuable data. It emphasised that sensitive information should only be shared with trusted individuals or organisations. For information on council tax and other common scams, see the gov.uk website.
I am both honoured and delighted that The Green World, The World Behind the Door, has been chosen as Blackwell's Children's Book of the Year and shortlisted for Blackwell's Book of the Year. I have so many wonderful memories of visiting Blackwell's as a child and later as a student, so this feels incredibly special. A million thanks to all Blackwell's booksellers and to everyone who reads, shared and has spoken about the book. It's a dream come true. Narrated along topics such as dining, governing and travelling, Emperor of Rome makes for an immersive experience, giving readers the unique insights into what life was really like, both for the emperors themselves and their subjects over whom they wielded their imperial power. Professor Mary Baird said, "I am absolutely delighted that Emperor of Rome is Blackwell's non-fiction book of the year. I have relied on the wonderful Blackwell stories all my adult life, so this means something very special to me. I'm also very pleased for the Romans themselves, still worth writing about after 2,000 years. The Emperor Augustus would, I am sure, be delighted too. Blackwell's was founded on New Year's Day, 1879, at 50 Broad Street, Oxford. The bookshop has 16 stores across the UK, with flagship shops in Oxford, Manchester, Edinburgh, and Heffers in Cambridge."
Eagle-eyed moviegoers will spot several Oxfordshire locations in the hotly anticipated action epic Napoleon, due out now. The much-anticipated movie by legendary director Ridley Scott charts the rise and fall of the French Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte, played by Oscar-winning Joaquin Phoenix. Against a stunning backdrop, the film captures Bonaparte's relentless journey to power through the prism of his volatile relationship with his true love, Josephine, played by Vanessa Kirby. It showcases his visionary military and political tactics with what are being described as some of the most dynamic, practical battle sequences ever filmed. Blenheim Palace was the setting for many key scenes in the film. Elm Palace is the seat of the Dukes of Marlborough and the only non-royal house in England to hold the title of palace. Intense battle scenes were filmed on the Blenheim estate, as well as romantic scenes within the palace's great hall and library, main saloon and the state rooms. Heather Carter, managing director at Blenheim Palace, said, "We were delighted to have welcomed Sir Ridley Scott and his team and are honoured that Blenheim Palace is featured as a backdrop for what we know will be a hugely popular film. Not only is it a great opportunity for people to see the beautiful palace and its grounds, which the whole team worked so hard to preserve in such a unique setting, but filming like this helps provide vital income for our charity, which is dedicated to funding important ongoing restoration projects and community initiatives, such as our ongoing apprenticeship scheme. We cannot wait to see the end results when we watch the take on the classic story and such an important piece of history." A large-scale period battle scene was also filmed in Blueberry, near Didcot, where residents reported hearing gun and cannon fire. In November 2021, the production team put a call out for ex-soldiers and young men to star as extras in the battle scenes. Recruits were put through an intensive 3-week boot camp to ensure they were fit enough to recreate historically accurate army drills.
A woman in her 60s was taken to hospital with serious injuries after a rush hour crash in Oxford. The woman was struck by a Volvo XC90 opposite the Volvo and MG dealership on Cumnor Hill in Botley at 5:05 p.m. on Friday, 17th of November. She suffered broken bones and cuts and was taken to the John Radcliffe Hospital for treatment, where she remains. No arrests have been made. The driver of the Volvo, who was not injured and stopped at the scene, is said to be assisting the police investigation. PC Mark Jones said, "I'm appealing to anybody who witnessed this collision or who may have dash cam footage of the incident to please get in touch on 101, quoting 432 305 18143.
Universities are to receive a £20 million investment to help them spin out research into commercial businesses, the Treasury has announced. The funding is intended to support the next generation of university spin-out companies, which see academic institutions commercialise their research and raised £5.3 billion in 2021-22. Chancellor Jeremy Hunt said, "Innovative, globally competitive businesses such as Oxford Nanopore are making a huge contribution to our economy. It's critical that we harness this potential and give universities the tools they need to translate cutting-edge research into exciting UK businesses that start and grow in the UK." Biotech business Oxford Nanopore, founded at Oxford University in 2005, has been pointed to as a success story by the Treasury and is valued at around £1.7 billion. The company specialises in rapid DNA sequencing and helped to sequence the virus that caused COVID-19 during the pandemic. The £20 million investment follows an independent review into university spin-outs, which has recommended a series of policies to make such businesses easier to start and more attractive for investment.
Join Greg Wise, Jason Isaacs, Mel Goodreich, Toby Jones and more at the 27th Follow the Stars Christmas Carol concert in aid of Macmillan Cancer Support at Oxford Christchurch Cathedral on Friday the 8th of December. Follow the Stars is a magnificent annual Christmas fundraiser in the splendour of Christchurch Cathedral, organised by a team of volunteers who raise money for Macmillan Cancer Support. This event is so much more than just a fundraising carol concert. It's a festive celebration of a world-class talent and will delight everyone in the run-up to Christmas. The star-studded cast of celebrities this year will include Greg Wise, Jason Isaacs, Mel Goodreich and Toby Jones, who will be entertaining us with enthralling literary readings. These will be interspersed with breathtaking musical performance and gloriously uplifting Christmas carols. The music will be performed by Vocal Ensemble Oxford Bach soloists and conducted by the award-winning Tom Hammond Davies, highly acclaimed classical trumpeter Alison Lyson Balsam, described as simply divine by the Sunday Telegraph, will also star. 2 years ago, John Rutter, the nation's favourite choral composer, composed a carol as a thank you to all the people in Oxfordshire in recognition of the £600,000 they have raised over the years through Follow the Stars. Here's your chance to hear this unique carol again. About 97% of Macmillan's Cancer Sports work is funded by people like you. There are about 3 million people living with cancer in the UK today, and more than 360,000 are diagnosed every year. Right now, those who have cancer and counting on Macmillan for help with paying bills, going through difficult treatment, or simply how they are feeling. By joining us at Follow the Stars, you will be actively helping towards Macmillan's services as they support people living with cancer. Kirsty Young, one of the celebrity readers at last night year's highlight, called it an utterly magical evening, and for the best possible cause. Another, Sally Phillips, added, "The music and the choir were outstanding. It was Christmassy and extremely beautiful." Book your tickets now at followthestars-macmillancarols.com. The concert will be also live streamed and free to view online at justgiving.com/fundraising/follow-the-stars.
A holidaymaker had a near miss after almost falling victim to a scam by computer hackers. Steve, from Abingdon, who wants his surname to remain anonymous, booked a short breakaway to Bath with his wife using online service booking.com. Having paid for the trip in October, Steve received a notification on WhatsApp from booking.com, along with an email from the company which told him his payment hadn't gone through and he would need to pay again. The scam email claimed that if he paid again, and it was found that he had already paid, the money would be refunded within 10 minutes. He checked with his bank and had it confirmed that his payment had left his account. It was quite a shock. It all looked so genuine. The link took me through to a fake site which had every precise detail, including my hotel, our names and the price. It was so believable, said Steve. It was only at the very end of the email where it asked for payment to an IBAN account with a MasterCard that the panic set in and we knew something was wrong. We couldn't get hold of the hotel, and when we did, they weren't too forthcoming in letting us know they'd been hacked. Steve paid £168 for the two-night trip, but he claims that losing the money wouldn't have been the main issue. He said, "The problem would have come afterwards. If I'd paid again, then the scammers will have had to have taken my bank account, bank details, to refund me. The bulk of money would have been taken as soon as I gave them the bank details. What would have been worse is if we'd paid on a flexible rate where they hold details of your debit card and don't process it. Luckily, we made the payment up front and the money was taken straight away." Booking.com has been contacted for comment. Steve's near miss comes at a time when Thames Valley Police and Oxfordshire County Council's Trading Standards team have been receiving calls about cold callers operating in the Abingdon area. Dr. Nathan Lee, Oxfordshire County Council's Cabinet Member for Public Health, Inequalities and Community Safety, said, "The start of the storm season and the wet autumn weather is a perfect opportunity for doorstep criminals to take advantage of householders who have a leaking roof, broken tiles, or are falsely told that such work is required to their property. It's also an opportunity to sell insulation products which can be unsuitable for householders' needs. Many traders will be booked up, so the advice is to be wary of traders who can arrive to start the work the following day and push for a quick agreement to use them."
The Abingdon Community Christmas Extravaganza is back this year on Saturday, 2nd of December, with a full day of events, attractions, artisan food vendors and stalls for all to enjoy from 9 a.m. Meet the donkeys from Island Farm Donkey Sanctuary, Follow the parade and enjoy a wonderful day's entertainment before the lights switch on at 5:45 p.m.
New occupants will soon be moving into their homes in Oxford, following the completion of new flats in Speedwell Street. Oxford City Council's housing company and main contractor, Wilmot Dixon, oversaw the official handover of the 36-home Bridges Cross development to the City Council. Lord Mayor Lubna Arshad, Council Leader Susan Brown, and Cabinet Members Linda Smith and Nigel Chapman were among those attending the handover ceremony. Designed by Levitt Bernstein Architects, Bridges Cross provides 36 low-carbon homes, 72% of which are considered to be affordable by the Council. The homes are mainly one or two-bed flats, with one three-bed flat, all of which have access to private gardens or balconies and two communal courtyards. Lubna Arshad said, "We welcome the completion of this development. Bridges Cross stands as a testament to our commitment to providing homes that are accessible to all, reflecting the urgent need for affordable housing in Oxford." The Bridges Cross site had previously served as the location for the Lucy Faithful House, a former homeless hostel, and her 13th century Blackfriars Friary, which was demolished in 1538. A bench in one of the courtyards features a plaque commemorating Lucy Faithful, a champion for children's rights. The council has said the new development boasts innovative environmental features. The Ox Place project incorporates what has been labelled a fabric-first approach, which sees buildings designed with enhanced insulation and air tightness standards. These are supplemented by rooftop solar PV panels, which generate up to 60% of the development's overall energy use. Ox Place Managing Director Helen Horn said, "Bridges Cross exemplifies this commitment beautifully. Bridges Cross isn't just a building, it's a vibrant community in the making, and I look forward to seeing it thrive." The development also has features such as a green roof that improves air quality, aids natural cooling, absorbs rainwater, and encourages biodiversity. There will be a minimal carbon footprint, as the development is car-free, except for two parking spaces equipped with EV chargers for flats adapted for people with mobility needs. Every flat is also provided with two bike parking spaces. Almost three quarters of Bridges Cross is affordable housing, going beyond the Council's 50% affordability requirement for a similar sized development. Richard Poulter, Managing Director of Wilmot Dixon, said, "It's been a pleasure to help deliver the Council's housing programme alongside them, where sustainability has been at the forefront."
This is a reminder about the panto at the Oxford Playhouse on the days for the audio described performances. The dates for these audio described performances are Saturday the 2nd of December at 4 p.m. and Saturday the 6th of January at 6 p.m. Ring 07865 305 305 for tickets and for further information.
A new Oxford political party has been launched, which says it is calling for a return to real democracy and councillors who listen to residents' views on LTNs. The Independent Oxford Alliance kick-started its campaign at the Oxford Academy in Littlemore, where it introduced independent candidates from across the city. A cooperative of independents, some who have already campaigned in wards in previous elections, and others who are new to politics, will come together as a pool of candidates. They say they will make decisions based on concerns in their area rather than on local politics driven by a national agenda. A member of the party's executive committee, Peter George, told the Oxford Mail, "There is already a desire when talking to people to have a real alternative. There seems to be a complete lack of democracy. If we pool our resources to grow a party, then councillors can still be independent in office." Mr. George added that the genesis of the party was partly brought about by the by-election for Rose Hill and Iffley, where independent candidate Michael Evans very nearly beat the incumbent Labour councillor. He said, "We have a real chance if we get organised, not just one, but in several wards in Oxford." A spokesman for the party has said it believes it is wrong for councils deliberately to cause congestion with LTNs and effectively tax all but the wealthy out of their cars with emission zones and parking charges. He added that the councillors will challenge and undo these policies. But Mr. George emphasised, "We are not an anti-LTN party, although this is one area where we have detected that a large majority of people in Oxford do not feel their views have been considered." When asked about possible alternative measures that might be considered, he suggested that the party might explore options such as increasing public transport if more buses reduced cars organically. He also suggested moving cycle lanes off main roads into parallel roads. The two key objectives listed on the party website are upholding democracy and improving quality of life. Formation of the IOA comes amid the resignation of 10 Oxford city councillors from the Labour Party recently. "We want to find those people who don't think their vote counts and tell them there is a real alternative," a party representative concluded.
A sapling grafted from one of the oldest standing apple trees has been planted to celebrate King Charles's coronation. The Milton Wonder sapling was planted at Milton Park near Didcot on behalf of the King and by the Lord Lieutenant of Oxfordshire, Marjorie Glasgow, Chairman of Oxfordshire County Council, Felix Bloomfield and Philip Campbell from Milton Park last week. Guests included Vice Lord Lieutenant Brian Buchan and business leaders from some of Milton Park's largest occupiers. The Milton Wonder cultivar takes its name from a local variety of tree dating back to 1810 in the nearby Milton village and is nationally significant for its age, provenance and fruit. The planting of the tree followed the King and Queen's earlier visit to the Sofa Food Bank in Didcot. Philip Campbell, Commercial Director at MEPC Milton Park, said, "It was an immense honour to participate in the tree planting ceremony to mark His Majesty the King's coronation. With the Lord Lieutenant of Oxfordshire and Vice Lord Lieutenant Brian Buchan's kind assistance, a second sapling was presented to the King as a birthday gift. The apple remains a symbol of scientific discoveries and eureka moments and an apt nod to the wondrous innovations of our occupiers here at the park. This tree planting is also representative of our continued commitment to the biodiversity and celebrates His Majesty's passion for the environment."
Oxford's first public art trail, Oxtrail 2024, is closing the sign-up window on December the 1st. Businesses, schools and community groups have their last opportunity to be part of this unique event supporting Sobel House Hospice. Prominent names like Oxford Bus Company, Oxford City Football Club and Blenheim Palace are among those already registered, joining more than 20 other groups to support the Oxford community. The aim is to boost community and visitor engagement and footfall across the city. Sobel House Hospice has organised the event, which will last for 6 weeks from July the 6th next year. During the event, life-sized oxen, individually designed by artists, will take over Oxford's most significant attractions and public spaces. Smaller herds of oxen will appear in other locations throughout the county. The CEO at Sobel House Hospice charity, Amelia Foster, said, "We've seen huge demand from local organisations wanting to get involved in Oxtrail, which is fantastic news for the city and is getting us really excited for next year and the launch of the trail." Businesses that sponsor an ox will be invited to exclusive events next year where they can network with other local companies, as well as being able to use it as an opportunity to engage both their customers and staff. Windmill Primary School in Headington was among the first to register. Head teacher Lynn Knapp said, This is a perfect opportunity to extend the children's creative skills and work in partnership with other schools and organisations to support the amazing charity Sober House Hospice, as well as creating a herd of oxen for everyone to see. Lux Marion, Managing Director at the Oxford Bus Company, said, "We are proud to partner with this fantastic initiative that will help encourage people to visit Oxford and raise money for a good cause. We're looking forward to seeing Oxtrail go live and helping to raise awareness of the vital work Sober House Hospice does in Oxfordshire." The final auction of these oxen sculptures post-event will gather funds for the hospice, while the smaller ones will return to schools and other settings for display. Oxtrail 2024 is in partnership with Wild in Art, a global platform that has brought city streets to life in places such as Manchester, Sydney, Cape Town and São Paulo in the past. Interested parties can visit www.oxtrail2024.co.uk for more information on how to get involved with the project.
Are you a singer? If so, join St Michael's Choir, Cumnor. It's a privilege to sing in the choir for St Michael's Cumnor, where we are led by Andrew Dyer, whose technical brilliance and versatility at the organ enables us to sing a very wide range of music. We have a lot of fun trying out possible anthems for the coming Sundays and special events. Andrew has worked happily with six vicars at St Michael's and has played for countless services over his 50 years of service. We look forward to many more years of singing with Andrew. New members are always welcome to our practices on Friday nights at 6:30 p.m. Do come, it will lift you up for your week.
Images of a new walking and cycling bridge over the Thames at Oxpens have been revealed as the planning application is submitted. The Oxpens River Bridge will form an important new connection between the future Osney Mead and Oxpens developments, as well as to the wider walking and cycling networks within the city and beyond. The City Council and Nuffield College plan to redevelop Oxpens, while Oxford University plans to regenerate Osney Mead in the coming years. Both projects are set to bring thousands of jobs and new homes to the city. Oxford City Council ran a consultation last summer of what people wanted from a new bridge, which it said it wanted to build in 2020. If planning is approved, building could start next year. The bridge's slender design, led by award-winning bridge designers Knight Architects, aims to preserve and enhance the current views of the river and meadows. The inner surfaces of the wave design on the bridge will have a dark grey finish to contrast with the lighter painted finish of the external surfaces, states a design and access statement. This makes it clear to onlookers that they are seeing the inside of one wave and the outside of the other. The bridge will be unlit, but there will be lighting transition. For those who are travelling north to south, the transition from lit space to unlit space will be more gradual if it happens before the northern abutment of the bridge than it would be if it happened at the south abutment, which does not benefit from the spilt light of surrounding streets and buildings, states the applicant. The application. It is also arguably a safer proposition to allow users to decide if they are comfortable entering an unlit bridge than forcing them to decide if they are comfortable exiting a lit bridge into an unlit woodland. The bridge is a requirement of the Oxford Local Plan and is needed to support the proposed redevelopment at Osney Mead. Funding is from the Oxfordshire Growth Deal, which funds infrastructure to support new housing delivery. The funding package was set by Oxfordshire County Council. In March 2020, the City Council agreed to take on the role of progressing the bridge through the design, planning and delivery stages on behalf of the County Council. It then became clear that there was a funding gap, but it was agreed with the County Council the design would be completed and planning permission secured while work was undertaken to address the funding gap. Councillor Alex Hollingsworth, Cabinet Member for Planning and Housing Delivery at Oxford City Council, said, "We hope the new bridge will enhance people's lives as much as it will enhance the unique character of the area.
So November brought more soup and afternoon tea possibilities. Food doesn't need to be portable so much in winter if you can't be outside all day. And if it turns cold, gloves. Just put fluff in your sandwich. Usually I'd be considering seed potatoes and stocking up on packets of future vegetable pleasure around now, but in a fit of autumn organisation means I've already done that. There are fruit bushes to plant and still lots of clearing and mulching after a year of distraction on the allotment. I plan a row of currants with enough space for a proper bird proofing. Ditto new gooseberries in several colours. I picked lots of really ripe golden dessert gooseberries this summer before the nearby wasp nest intimidated me. And now I see what my mother was anticipating every year. Delicious. Not sure why her offspring were so keen to eat them green and face puckeringly sour, really. I have no memory of eating ripe gooseberries in my youth, so children and blackbirds must have been an efficient pest combination. I've a pear tree to replace too, but before the autumn, some ridiculously dry hot weather, that will involve research, most delightfully French-named pollination group fecundity flavour. So much to consider before actually digging a hole. My parents' garden had an immortal wool-trailed pear tree that produced pears the size of a small child's head, so sweet and juicy that the resultant stickiness was elbow deep. That is what I want, but without the wool. Shop pears never quite get there. Or the first one of a kilo is near perfect, then the rest stay hard or stealthily develop brown mush at their centre whilst I expectantly leave them for a day or two. Infuriating. I've been busy using up the last dregs of the last year from the garden allotment. Dried herbs, dried borlotti, sorrel sauce and squash and sage gnocchi for the freezer. Herb salts, half a cup sea salt, 5 cloves of garlic, 1 cup of sage, 1 cup of rosemary, chopped together and dried in a tray overnight and jarred, makes almost all things taste better. I have just added a bird feeder outside my kitchen window, which is adding new levels of entertainment to most kitchen activities. Food for all. And the most ordinary of birds look beautifully bright and alive on a dull winter afternoon.
In an effort to bridge the digital divide, Oxford-based Asylum Welcome has launched an appeal for 500 digital devices to reach homes by Christmas. The organisation seeks donations of redundant laptops, tablets and smartphones, which can be handed over at its Oxford office. Digital devices can ease the challenge of building a new life far from home for asylum seekers. Being equipped with a laptop or a smartphone makes a considerable difference to their lives. The past 2 years saw the number of people that Asylum Welcome supports double, welcoming diverse groups from Ukraine to Sudan. However, the demand continues to grow with an array of electronic devices already handed out. Speaking on the necessity of digital inclusion, Community Liaison Officer Irina Linkovich said, "Since I visited more than 80 Ukrainian families in Oxfordshire, I can say that many of them really need laptops, as they need to learn English online, look for a job, study different courses, and even have leisure time watching movies or cartoons with children." In agreement is Asylum Welcome's Youth Service Coordinator, Jess Biegand. She said, "We have many unaccompanied children arriving in Oxford who have to wait months before they can start school or college. Having a laptop means they can start online ESOL classes and practice their language and computer skills ahead of starting school so they don't feel left behind when they begin. It also means they can contact family members and friends through social media, which is so important." One client said, "The laptop has been great. It is a source of entertainment, warding off boredom and keeping me engaged. It's really helped me. Thank you." The Digital Inclusion Service of Asylum Welcome Bolstered by a grant from the Santander Foundation, now expands beyond providing digital devices. It includes offering tuition to individuals of all ages and backgrounds and helping them connect with their communities, often their first digital experience. One young beneficiary shared that he was not accustomed to using a laptop, but could now engage with email, download apps, seek entertainment, and practice English exercises daily, thanks to the initiative. The organisation remains humbled by the growing number of clients seeking assistance and their stories. Although the rising demand has led to the temporary closure of the waiting list, this only serves to emphasise the urgency of the appeal. Donations of laptops, tablets and smartphones are welcomed by Asylum Welcome.
Babies and toddlers brought their teddies to a toy hospital in Oxford to help raise money for children in need. The toys were given a health check and bandages at the Charwell School in North Oxford, where the event was being run by children's music and singing group Musical Mayhem on Saturday morning. Songs were sung about bumps, bruises and spots with live accompaniment, puppies and musical games. Organisers raised £765 for children in need to help disadvantaged children locally and across the UK. Musical Mayhem owner Monica Nelson said, "We've had a brilliant week making lots of toys better and raising hundreds of pounds for children in need. Our Saturday Toy Hospital in Oxford was the final chance to join the fundraising fun where we were all welcome."
A recent survey by national healthcare charity Sue Ryder has unveiled a shift in Christmas traditions in Oxfordshire. Because of the ongoing cost of living crisis, people are taking extra measures when it comes to Christmas this year. In the survey, 42% of people shared they won't be buying new Christmas decorations this year due to the cost of living crisis, and 1 in 10 agreed they'll be getting their seasonal decorations from charity shops to save money. More than 1 in 5 said they plan to set up their Christmas tree earlier than usual to give themselves something to look forward to, with 66% saying they feel sad when they take the tree down. Further steps to cut costs include 39% of people saying they will use LED lights to reduce energy consumption. According to the data from Sue Ryder, more than half of people plan to recycle their real Christmas tree. The charity is hopeful that these changing traditions will inspire more residents to recycle their trees via their scheme, helping generate funds for local families requiring palliative and bereavement support. Sue Ryder's Senior Sustainability Officer, Rachel Cleary, said, "It's brilliant to see this new data highlighting this area as a hotspot for using charity tree recycling schemes." She also highlighted that people are finding innovative ways to save money and be more eco-friendly this Christmas. Sue Soff, Senior Community Fundraiser for Sue Ryder Palliative Care Hub South Oxfordshire, said, "This is where our Sue Ryder tree recycling scheme can help, and we're hoping that even more residents opt to utilise the service this festive season." Fern Haynes, Sue Ryder's community fundraising manager in the Thames Valley, said she shed light on the tree cycling scheme run entirely by volunteers. She said, "As much as we wish we could be there collecting trees right across the UK, we don't have Santa Claus' magical power to be everywhere, which is why we only cover selected postcodes. If you or your friends or family live in a postcode area where Sue Ryder is tree cycling, please do book your tree in with us. If not, you can still be sustainable and support many other local charities who might be operating schemes in your postcode." New occupants will soon be moving into their homes in Oxford, following the completion of new flats in Speedwell Street. Oxford City Council's housing company and main contractor, Wilmot Dixon, oversaw the official handover of the 36-home Bridges Cross development to the City Council. Lord Mayor Lubna Arshad, Council Leader Susan Brown, and Cabinet Members Linda Smith and Nigel Chapman were among those attending the handover ceremony. Designed by Levitt Bernstein Architects, Bridges Cross provides 36 low-carbon homes, 72% of which are considered to be affordable by the council. The homes are mainly one or two-bed flats, with one three-bed flat, all of which have access to private gardens or balconies and two communal courtyards. Lubna Arshad said, "We welcome the completion of this development. Bridges Cross stands as a testament to our commitment to providing homes that are accessible to all, reflecting the urgent need for affordable housing in Oxford." The Bridges Cross site had previously served as the location for the Lucy Faithful House, a former homeless hostel, and her 13th century Blackfriars Friary, which was demolished in 1538. A bench in one of the courtyards features a plaque commemorating Lucy Faithful, a champion for children's rights. The council has said the new development boasts innovative environmental features. The Ox Place project incorporates what has been labelled a fabric-first approach, which sees buildings designed with enhanced insulation and air tightness standards. These are supplemented by rooftop solar PV panels, which generate up to 60% of the development's overall energy use. Ox Place Managing Director Helen Horn said, "Bridges Cross exemplifies this commitment beautifully. Bridges Cross isn't just a building, it's a vibrant community in the making, and I look forward to seeing it thrive." The development also has features such as a green roof that improves air quality, aids natural cooling, absorbs rainwater, and encourages biodiversity. There will be a minimal carbon footprint, as the development is car-free, except for two parking spaces equipped with EV chargers for flats adapted for people with mobility needs. Every flat is also provided with two bike parking spaces. Almost three quarters of Bridges Cross is affordable housing, going beyond the council's 50% affordability requirement for a similar size development. Richard Poulter, Managing Director of Wilmot Dixon, said, "It's been a pleasure to help deliver the council's housing programme alongside them, where sustainability has been at the forefront."
An Oxfordshire community is selling shares in the village pub in the run-up to Christmas to bring it under community ownership. The Fox Inn in Middle Barton, West Oxfordshire, is a Grade 2 listed 18th century pub. Over the last decade, the pub has been closed for significant periods of time. At the end of June, the owner put the Fox on the market for £495,900 and has been closed ever since. Villagers successfully applied for ACV, Asset of Community Value, status for the Fox in 2021 and now have until the end of this year to make a bid. Richard Brown, MBE, who is leading the bid, said, "In today's world, pubs need to totally reinvent themselves, both in the way they are run and the way they are used. We know that community pubs have more than a 99% success rate. We believe that only our community can save our Fox." John Madden, vice chair of the group, added, "We've been very busy. We launched a survey and used the results to set out a vision for an accessible, welcoming space at the heart of our community. At the same time, we commissioned a structural survey which told us that the building is in good shape, and commercial feasibility study which confirmed that the Fox can, as a free house under community ownership, be a profitable business. We joined the Plunkett Foundation, who have helped many communities save their pubs, and set up the Barton's Community Benefit Society. During the autumn, we held some community events to raise awareness. The shares campaign is being backed by former EastEnders actress Tamsin Outhwaite." The Society's treasurer, Sue West, said, "Once the pub has been bought, a landlord will be recruited to run it." She added, "Our business plan sets out how we intend to pay interest on investments and reinvest any surplus in our exciting plans to transform the Fox into much more than a pub. We've been overwhelmed by the very strong community support we have seen so far. We've collected pledges of £123,000, with many more people interested in investing. People have given many hours of their time and expertise helping to put our business plan and marketing strategy together. The community has shared photos and memories to revive the history of this pub. A talented local carpenter has even reproduced the village stocks which stood at the side of the pub until 1868. There are now a number of community-run pubs around the county. The most well-known is the Lamb and Flag in St Giles in Oxford, which is being run by a community interest group called the Inklings.
That was the last news item for this week. If you have any comments about this week's Oxtalk edition, either email us at mail@oxtalk.org.uk or telephone Margaret on 07496 062 280. Please leave your name and telephone number so that we can return your call. There are several different ways to listen to Oxtalk. As usual, we'll be sending out USB memory sticks in their yellow wallets. You can listen to the current week and the previous month's editions by going to our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can either stream the news straight away or download it should you wish to listen later on using an alternative device. You can also use Alexa, and here is Guy Lawful explaining how to set it up.
Notice to listeners of Oxtalk who use a smart speaker to access our service. There are new instructions for anyone who listens to Oxtalk using Alexa. To listen to Oxtalk in this way, you now have to use the Talking Newspaper skill. First, you need to enable it. Simply say, Alexa, enable Talking Newspaper. Then, to listen to Oxtalk, please follow this procedure.
Alexa, open Talking Newspaper.
Welcome to your Talking Newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper, or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have problems listening to Oxtalk in this way, it could be due to the way that your Alexa device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set up your device in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact Oxtalk and we will try to help.